questions are all around.
For Ready, Steady, Learn.
Learn.
Why is liquid cold?
Learn.
What is maths?
Learn.
Why does this, ow, hurt?
Learn.
What is the Enlightenment?
I don't know.
And now, thanks to the University of Auckland, it's time to Ready, Steady, Learn.
Ah, good. I love to learn. Everyone loves to learn. If you don't learn, then you don't know anything. Guests in the studio today are Alvina. Hi, good morning. Welcome.
Morning.
And Himata. Hi, how are you?
Good morning.
So you guys are here to talk about today obesity circuit breakers in Pacific Island youth. Basically, you've identified a way of stopping the ongoing cycle of obesity in Pacific Island youth. Or just Pacific Island youth, or just youth in general?
Well, youth in general.
Yep.
Yeah.
Do tell.
I'm not too sure if it's about stopping. It's more about making a difference and helping young Pacific people. For my study, I'm doing it in the Cook Islands. And
Bummer. Oh. I hope you're going to be okay over there. It's pretty pleasant. Been over there before. It's very pleasant.
It's a beautiful country.
Yeah.
Over 40% of high school students in the Cook Islands are overweight. And so we're implementing an education program through the Pacific Science for Health Literacy, which is run by Ministries of Health, Education and the Liggins Institute. And we want to help educate and also empower young people to make healthy decisions.
How much of it is you've found something out about this? How much of it is the parents? How much of it is are they to blame? I'm talking pre-birth. You know, before a kid's born, how much do you as a parent have to shoulder the responsibility for your potential, the weight of your child? Once born.
Yeah, so we...
I mean,
we
that's some heavy guilt to lay on somebody, isn't it, really?
But I think, you know, what we're teaching the young people in high school right now is that what you do before you become pregnant, as both parents, females, and mothers and fathers, is that they're just as important in making a difference in their future health of their children.
Right.
So, you know, we do understand that parents do have a lot of say in what their kids eat, as much as, you know, but children still acknowledge that they do have a say. They still get to choose what they have at school, what they buy outside of home. So it's about helping them make healthy decisions and realizing that what they do now doesn't matter for their future and their children's future.
Right. The thing is with obesity, it's leads to all sorts of other diseases as well, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Like what are some of the main ones that stand out in Pacific Island youth that you've discovered?
A lot of Pacific Islanders are influenced by the environment.
Yeah.
So I think that's a statement that can relate to all adolescents. So they, what is available in their environment, what they can access if they have shops that are selling cheaper foods than other foods. Students are more, Pacific youth are more likely to go for, like, especially if they're from low socioeconomic statuses, like the study I'm doing is on my local community, where it's a low income area, Tamaki, East Auckland, GI suburb. So that's the area I'm looking at. And
a lot of cheap and nasty options. In that area?
Yeah.
Lived in that area? Yep.
Yeah. So I would also be looking at the environmental area. I'll look at the different shops that are available, what they kind of sell in the shops and stuff, and how far they are from the schools. So that's another issue. But also with the housing issue, the living standards that the people are living in, the youth are living in. Yeah. So there's a lot of social determinants that are affecting students.
That's a hard thing to try and make a change though, isn't it? Because when you're already living there, you're already in that situation, you can't just go, come on, let's go live somewhere much nicer, come on. You know, so how do you sort of how do you give people some hope that's to make a difference?
Or
is that what you're trying to figure out?
Yeah, we give them the choice, like,
yeah.
from our programs, we educate them so that then they have a choice to choose good or like the good foods or the bad foods. So that's where our study kind of comes in. It's not really the ideal thing, is educating them is the only option, but it's an avenue away from choosing that kind of food. Yeah.
Has obesity historically been a problem in Pacific Islanders, or is it sort of only as the world's got more in touch with each other that and other outside influences, you know, or has it always been an issue, sort of?
No, it hasn't. The traditional diets that Pacific people used to live on were healthy for them. It's more recent with globalization happening within the Pacific Islands, more introductions of foreign processed foods and stuff that are coming into the countries.
And that's made a massive difference.
And so
how do you, I guess it's hard to stop people being tempted by things from offshore, you know, from exotic places, you know,
chocolate
and you know, boxes of filthy KFC, you know. But I mean, it's exciting for people, eh, to have access to that, you know, if they don't usually. You know, like I know that in the Cook Islands I went to, I was did a TV show on Aitutaki, I was there for a month, and it's like, you're lucky to get two different flavoured types of chips over there, you know. It's exciting when, oh, salt vinegar's in, woohoo! You know, the boats bought this in. Hey, someone said actually, since colonisation, that's what it is. It's more colonisation than globalisation, isn't it? Really, good call, Texter. So where to from here? How do you identify who are the people most receptive to the work you're doing? You know, the people who are actually going to make a difference.
With the project we're working on in the Cook Islands, we've been fortunate to get the support of both Ministries of Education and Health. They feel that it's not one sector alone can make a difference. So that's why it's key that we get both sectors and Liggins Institute together to help support each other. So we're finding that health people are working together with teachers. We're helping teachers develop professionally. They also need a lot of, they've identified that they need a lot of help with their health literacy and the understanding of health issues themselves. So if we're really going to help teach our young people, we need to also work with teachers. They're crucial to the success.
This isn't a brand new problem, is it? So what's been stopping people learning about this or getting the right information about this in the past?
It's a combination of factors. It's not just education, really.
Yep.
Like, you know, people do say, oh, well, I know a lot. I know that I shouldn't be eating this. I shouldn't be doing this for my health. But I think it's also that people don't feel like they have control over their choices. You know, they look at the environment. They say, I have all this fast food takeaways down the road. Price of fruits and veggies are expensive. How can I make a difference in my health if my environment's stopping me from that?
Sure.
So I think we're just getting young people discussing, talking about these issues, bringing it to light, and they kind of develop solutions for themselves.
Oh, cool. They can address it. Yeah. Hey, well, good luck with all that. Thank you very much for coming in to talk to us about it, and be anxious to see what happens. When do you sort of finish up?
Oh,
your work.
Crunch time. I'm heading over to the Cook Islands to do data collection 2 weeks' time.
Yep.
And then we submit in Feb. So we won't have a life till Feb.
Well, good luck. Thanks very much for coming in, Hamata and Alvina.
Cheers.
Thank you very much.
Ready, Steady, Learn! Thanks to the University of Auckland, the best university.